All right, well, let's jump into scripture here today. Turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We're going to have a three-week series here out of the book of John. John chapter 6, we're going to be looking at verses 25 through 59. John chapter 6, verses 25 through 59. We're going to start a three-week series here as we lead up to our annual family meeting on the end of the month. And so with the new year, a lot of us have New Year's goals. How many of you have a New Year's goal you want to do? Or a New Year's goal? Something you want to do, you want to complete, yeah. But I want to start off for us today for Crosspoint, reminding us that Jesus has to be the center of it all. Now you're like, whoa, that's not new, Pastor Dan. We know that, right? I mean, it's not like, but I want to remind us every year, every second, every day, every moment, Jesus must be the center of it all. But even more important, that Jesus is, as you see on your screen, he is the bread of life. And in this series, we're going to look at John chapter 6, where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And if you know from the book of John, Jesus has seven statements, the seven I am statements that he says. And the first one he talks about, he says, I am the bread of life. And we're gonna go through this here and talk about that. Over these next 3 weeks, I'll kind of show you where we're going. Today, we're going to talk about feed on real bread that lasts. Next week, we're going to talk about feed on real nutrients, right? And then the last week, we're going to talk about drink only pure water. And so we're going to look in Scripture how Scripture highlights what we eat and drink physically corresponds with our spiritual walk and spiritual life. And so today, we're going to talk about feed on real bread that lasts. Now, how many of you have ever had bad bread, moldy bread? Or you went to go get that sandwich, you're ready to make that sandwich, and you pull it out of the refrigerator, or you pull that bread off the shelf, and it's got that mold. You're like, oh, boy, I really wanted a ham sandwich or a turkey sandwich. You're like, oh. Well, we know there's bread that molds and spoils and fades, but we're going to talk today about how Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. And once we encounter Jesus, man, we never go hungry again, and he fulfills us. But let me start off here with a little pretext. In Isaiah 49, verses 8 through 10, the prophet Isaiah wrote this prophetically to the nation of Israel. He said this. He says, this is what the Lord says. In the time of my favor, I will answer you. And in the day of salvation, I will help you. Remember, this is Isaiah writing what the Lord is saying to him to speak to Israelite, to the Israel. And so this is God the Father saying this. In my time of my favor, I will answer you. In the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritances, to say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. Now here's a listen to the second portion here. It says, they will feed beside the roads and find pasture on every barren hill. They will never hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat or the sun beat down on them. He who has compassion on them will guide them. Do you hear some familiar portions of Scripture in there, what Jesus said? Jesus says, you will neither hunger nor thirst no more. I have water, and I have bread that will satisfy the hunger. Through Isaiah, God spoke prophetically to the nation and for us today that there would be one who would satisfy the hunger inside of us, that would satisfy that hunger for life and purpose fulfillment, that would satisfy that desire to keep going back to sin and darkness. And there'd be the one who would break us free from that and give us true spiritual food to feed on and to fulfill us and to sustain us. And so I want to bring that text up because really this is a setup for this text we're going to read here in John 6, where Jesus is going to be talking about how he is the bread of life. He is the real food. And so turn with me to John chapter 6, and we're going to start here in verse 25. And it won't be on your screen, so you'll have to follow along here. All right. Everybody there? Here we go. In verse 25, I'm reading out of the ESV. It says, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, What must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered him, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it was written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Then the Jews disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I am him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me will also live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. Let's pray, church. Father, we ask in these next few moments that you would illuminate your scripture in our minds and our hearts. God, we pray that we would put our whole worth in you, Jesus, that we would eat of the true bread that satisfies, that gives us eternal life, that, Jesus, we would believe in you, that we confess with our mouths, and that, God, we would act upon that confession, and that, God, we would follow you all the days of our life. God, we say thank you for your word that guides us, and we just pray that, God, your word would go forth in power and might. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, let me start off with this. We've all had moldy bread before, but have you ever had fresh bread from the oven? Many of you, fresh homemade bread. Yeah, I guess seen some heads nodding, right? Get that fresh bread. You put some butter on it or some cinnamon sugar, or, you know, you put some honey on that and some butter on that fresh piece of bread. Isn't that amazing? But how many of you go to the store and pull a loaf off of the shelves at Hy-Vee or Walmart? You're like, oh, yeah, woo, this is such magnificent warm bread. None of us really do that. We're thankful for the bread. But there's a difference between what's on the store shelf and what's real, what's hot, what's fresh, what is simple, what is true nutrients that come out of that homemade bread that we eat. Many of us have many New Year's goals, right? We want to eat healthy, you know, eat less sweets, get out and exercise. You know, we have all these things we want to do. But a lot of times we end up with cravings that lead us back to, man, going through Dairy Queen 11 o'clock at night, or swinging by McDonald's for that, you know, that milkshake, whatever it is, right? You have your own thing, that Snickers bar, or that candy, whatever your thing is, right? There's nothing wrong with desserts, but we set a goal, we're going to eat healthy, and then we end up going back to this kind of desire, the things that aren't the most healthy for us. Well, here in John, the people were looking for something that was going to satisfy. They were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the healer. They were looking for the one that would set them free. And up to this point, the Jews had the law, but a lot of times they kept adding on to the law. They kept turning away their hearts from God, looking to other things to satisfy the ultimate true craving, the hunger. They were looking for true nutrients, true bread that would satisfy. Well, Jesus shows up on the scene here, and we had this whole discourse, the I am the bread of life discourse he gave them. and he talks about how he would satisfy and how he would redeem them. So let's jump into a few things here. I only have three quick points, and today is a very simplistic message, because if we read this text, what do we get out of it? What's the overall synopsis? Jesus is the bread of life. It's very simple. Nothing else will satisfy. There is no other way to life or eternal life. It's you believe in him, he's the bread of life, and if you believe in the bread and you believe in him, then you will have eternal life, and you will live, and you will be redeemed. It's very simple. Sometimes the passage can be taught or act like there's some type of hidden meaning. There's not some hidden meaning that has to be unlocked. The meaning is the plain reading of the text. Jesus is fresh bread for us. He is the true food that we need in our life. And so the first thing I want to highlight is this, is feed on real bread that lasts. Feed on the real bread that lasts. In the new year, sometimes we look to all different things. We look to, oh, I'm going to do this and that, and this might fulfill me or give me hope or a future. But I want to remind this church, as we start a new year, 2025, we're going to keep it real simple in this series, is Jesus is it. The greatest new year goal you can do is, Jesus, I'm going to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus, I'm going to keep you at the center of it all. Jesus, I'm going to believe in you and what you said. I'm going to take you at your word. That is the greatest New Year's goal you can make for your life. Because of that, if you believe in that, if you believe that Jesus, you're the bread of life, and if you feast on the real bread, then all the other fake sugars, the imitation, everything, guess what? It's not going to hold up, right? We can all taste real vanilla versus fake vanilla. Anybody had a real homemade dessert versus imitation something, right? I mean, don't you love it when you see the ingredients, it says imitation this and this and this, you're like, oh, just give me the real thing, right? Wasn't that Coke slogan a long time, you know, the real thing, right? We want the real thing. If you start off with the real thing, the real bread of life, then all the other entrappings, all the other desires, they will fade away. Look at verse 27 here specifically. Let's dive through this text here. Look at verse 27. Jesus says, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him God the Father has set his seal." It's very simple. Verse 27 is, I would sum it up like this. God gives us real food to thrive on, the bread of life. Jesus wasn't hiding his message. This passage is not kind of clouded with, what's the meaning here? The meaning is very simple. And as disciples of Christ, we need to be very clear to the world and to those around us that Jesus is real food. He is the bread of life. He's the only thing that will endure. Now, once again, this isn't new preaching. I feel like around the room, many of you know this. But as we start off the new year, I'm going to remind us, we need to make sure that we are eating true bread, real bread, not imitation bread, not overly processed bread of human traditions and man-made things. But are you going to the Word? Are you going to Jesus, the source of life? Are you trying to add Jesus plus this and this? Are you trying to add Jesus plus if I do this and that, or if I act this way, if I dress this way, then somehow I'm gonna get into eternal life? No, Jesus said he is the gateway, he's the pathway. It's nothing new, it's very simple. Jesus says it throughout all the Gospels. But if we start off, is what are you feeding on this year? What are you feeding on that's truly eternal? Are you trying to, you know, read some pastor's book about Jesus? Are you trying to read something peripheral, which may not be bad? Or are you going straight to the bread of life? And are you sitting before him and say, Jesus, teach me. Jesus, I want to know you more. I want to be with you. I want to understand you by your good spirit. You said you've given us the spirit to know you. Are you seeking that type of bread? Let me go on here. Let's jump down to verse 29 here. And we'll say this. Jesus said to believe in what you're eating. Believe in what you're eating. Look at verse 29 here. He says, Jesus answered him. He says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. What was one of the greatest issues Jesus had with the people? Their disbelief. He did the miracles, and they said, oh, do us another trick and pony show, Jesus. Do another trick, and then we'll believe you. Okay, do another one, then we'll believe you. Do another one, then we believe you. Jesus said what? Either you believe me or you don't. Pick which one is it, people? And Jesus here, he said, I am the bread of life, and he says, believe in whom he has sent. And so for us today, as we start off at this new year, is do you believe in him fully, yes or no? If you had an answer today, you know, what percentage, you ever did that for your homework? Your teacher asked you, well, what percentage of, you know, the homework did you do or the reading? Everyone's at 100%, but we all know, yeah. I teach a course for our IR Ministry Network on theology, and some of the students are like, yeah, they're like, Dan, I only read 50% of the reading. They're like, I know I'm going to get a bad grade, but today, if you had an answer to Jesus right now, do you believe in him 100% or 75% or 50% or 35%, 25%? What is it? What is it today? Jesus was very clear. He didn't say, hey, believe in me 50% and you're good. Amen. High five, people. What did he say? He said, believe or don't believe. You're all in or you're all out. It's one or the other. Now, we can be all in, and yet we can still be saying, God, I need, you know, build my faith. And you're right. We can still be 100% in and say, God, I need you to keep building my faith. But it's very easy for us to go to the invitation. It's very easy in a new year to go back to, oh, well, God, you know, you didn't show up in 2024. You know, I got sick. I lost a family member. You know, you could name whatever it is, and it's easy for us to turn away. But Jesus said that you have to believe in me. Either you're all in or you're all out. And so I would encourage us today is this. Believe in what you're eating. If you believe he's the bread of life, then be all in. Have you ever seen it when a child loves that dessert or that homemade spaghetti you make? Guess what? They don't just take a little bite and be like, oh, I'm good, mom or dad. What do? Man, they are all into that thing, and they eat that, right? Right? I mean, we at our family, we love getting kids. We're like, at Christmas, we love getting our kids a special cereal, like kind of the most outlandish, fun cereals you can get, you know, that's out there. And they don't eat a couple spoonfuls. Oh, thank you, mom and dad. What do? They're like fighting over it, eating, you know, that, you know, Rice Krispies as fast as they can because they're all in. And I would encourage this church today, as we go into the new year, do you believe in what you're eating? Or do you have, or are you like James's? Are you still doubting? You're on the ocean of doubt. Oh, yeah. I'll believe you, Jesus, when times are good or when everything's, you know, hunky-dory in my life, or I think, you know, or are you all in, and Jesus, you're the only thing that's going to satisfy? Now, doesn't mean everything is a happy day. It doesn't mean we don't go through hardships in our families or jobs or our physical bodies, but we can say, Jesus, I'm all in, and I believe you are the only thing that will bring me life. And for down, let's keep reading. Let's look down here at verse 35 here. Jesus goes on, and Jesus said to them in verse 35, he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. That's a throwback to that Isaiah 49 passage where Jesus is quoting that. And if you believe in what you're eating, we know when we eat healthy, real foods, guess what? It satisfies hunger. If you talk to a nutritionist, they tell you if you eat real foods that are not super processed and not imitation, that the real food, the real nutrients satisfies us, our biological needs. Once again, Jesus is telling us very plainly that I'm the bread of life, and if you come to me, you're not going to hunger and thirst anymore. How many of our trials and issues come from not eating real food and not coming to Jesus with our problems or putting all of our faith in him and not staying sustained in him and in him? But we go to something else. We go to some other source outside of him, and we get hungry and thirsty. And then what happens? We start doing that, and that leads us down a path away from him. And then we creep into desires. And desires give birth to sin. And when sin gives full birth, what happens? Leads to death. But if we stay on Jesus, if we eat him and realize that he is the only thing that's going to satisfy, and we believe him at his word, as he says here in verses 35 and 36, then all those extra hungers and those thirstings, those longings for things that won't satisfy, begin to fade in the past. It's been said after, you know, 20 to 30 days, if you don't eat sugar, your taste buds readapt. And how many of you have ever done that? You've gone maybe 2 or 3 weeks without trying to eat sugary drinks, something like that, and what? Your taste buds start changing. I'm a sugar addict. I'll raise my hand. but I remember, you know, if I've done 2 or 3 weeks of fasting, boy, you can change. You can feel the difference. Once again, do you believe in what you're eating? And if you seek after Jesus and follow him, boy, everything else is going to fade away. All the other tastes and desires, it's going to taste like imitation to you. But believe in what you're eating. Believe that he will satisfy those hungers. And he will satisfy the thirst, excuse me. Turn down here to verse 48 with me here. Verse 48. Today we're just going to kind of cover a kind of high level of this passage. And then over the next few weeks, we're going to break it down and add some other things into it. But down in verse 48, once again, Jesus says very plainly, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. In ancient cultures, bread was so important. Bread was so important to sustain. It was healthy. It was eaten with meat or used to dip in soups and broths and stuff like that. But bread was so important to the ancient cultures. And I highlight this in verse 48. I want to highlight this to us in the new year. Is this? Don't turn back to junk food. Don't turn back to junk food. And what is spiritual junk food for us? Idols, unbelief, darkness, sinful desires. Jesus said it multiple times here, but this is the classic I am statement. I am the bread of life. Anything other than Jesus is an idol. It's junk food. It's going to rot your teeth, rot your gut, and rot your body. Anything other than him will turn us back to the sinful desires, the darkness, the unbelief, the idols in our life. You have to not turn back in this new year. In this new year, you're going to be tempted, right? It's going to be that midnight hour. You get up, you get a drink of water, and you're hungry, and you're going to be tempted to reach for that Snickers bar. You're going to be tempted to reach for whatever it is or whatever. You're going to, you know, that can of Pepsi. You're going to turn around. You're going to be tempted sometime this year. The enemy wants to tempt us, but we have to make sure we don't turn back and willingly get. We have to remember that Jesus said, "I am the bread of life, and He will satisfy." And He says here in verse 49, He says, "Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. But this is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die." Don't turn back to junk food, church, this year. There's Christian believers we are seeing that are just turning back to the ways. They, like we saw in the book of Corinthians, Romans, Paul talks about, there was people that believed in Jesus, and then they turned their back. They went back to their sinful, the former life. So turning to that junk food is turning away from the fresh, hot bread out of that oven. How many of us would turn down a fresh, hot, you know, loaf of raisin bread? No. Would you turn that down and go to eat Snickers? No. I mean, I don't hope you don't. Or if you had fresh, hot, you know, wheat bread, you know, with nice butter and honey and maybe some cinnamon on that. Boy, who would turn that down to go eat some ramen noodles? Ugh. I mean, who would do that? Right? In your Christian walk with Jesus, why do we say, "Jesus, you're my Lord and Master, I love you"? And then sometimes we're like, "Whoo, man, this back here, this junk food, boy, that candy hire, man, that looks pretty good. That candy, why do we do that as believers? Why do we so easily turn from the one who gives us life?" Now, that's not condemnation, but it's a wake-up call to the church. In this day and hour, church, we must show the world that He is the only one that sustains us. He's the only one that solves the hunger and the thirst. He's the only one that gives us meaning. Man is searching for meaning right now more than ever, and I think in the history of our nation. We can say, man, we have the bread of life. Man, we have the real food, the real nutrients that feed us. And so we want to help them not turn back from Jesus. And we want to help each other today not turn back to junk food. And so today I want us to say this. We got to turn back to real food. A few things is this. Only He can truly satisfy what you long for in this new year. All of us have new longings in this next year. We want to graduate college. We want to, you know, get a promotion. We want to save some money, get healthier, whatever it is. That's all great, but remember, only He satisfies. Second of this, only He can restore your body, mind, and soul. In this passage, we'll as we break down over the next couple weeks, Jesus is also talking about that this bread isn't just necessarily for salvation. It's a cumulative process. It's a holistic bread of life. Only He can save us for eternity. This passage is very clear. Jesus is the only way. So when we go out and witness, it's not there's multiple ways to lead to the Father. There's not, we got to be out, and we got to, you know, say, these other quote-unquote faiths lead to Jesus. No, there's one. It's only through Jesus. He's the only way. He's the only bread of life. And we have to remember and tell ourselves and tell others that He's it. He's the only one that saves us for eternity. And then lastly, in this passage, Jesus reminds us that only He can guide us. At the very end, He talks about the guidance that He guides us. We have to remember in this new year, if the bread of life is the only one that guides us. He's the only thing that can truly navigate us through this world that's so filled with perils and temptations and sin, and especially the work of the enemy, who is like Scripture says. Remember, Peter says he's like a crouching lion waiting to devour. The bread of life will keep us from those secret sins and those crouching lions, right? How many of you know when you, like we said before, if you keep eating real food, it gets a lot easier when you walk in the supermarket, when you walk into Culver's or McDonald's. It's a lot easier to turn those things away and say, nope, I'm gonna wait till I get some better food or some more healthier food to eat. When we keep the bread of life central, when we keep going back to Jesus, keep going back to His Word, when you spend time in prayer and fasting, right now doing our 21 days of prayer and fasting, when you take time to do that, boy, everything else fades away. And church, I want to start off this year for us to remind us to keep Him central in your life. Keep Him central in your life. Drew, if you can go out, and there's a slide for the 21 days of prayer and fasting, if you'll go to that. As we end here, we're going to end. I've got a song, kind of a time of worship and prayer we're going to reflect on. But I want to highlight to us, during our 21 days of prayer and fasting, we have information out on the table you can pick up. There's ways to fast, types of fasts. There's different prayer models you can pick up and go through. But starting tomorrow night, go to the next slide, please. Starting tomorrow night and the next three Monday nights, we're going to have three nights of prayer from 6 to 7 here. One way you can keep the bread of life fresh and hot is committing to prayer. And you, if you can't come to these are okay. But I would encourage you, begin to pray. and stay committed this year to prayer and connecting to Jesus. But tomorrow night, we're going to pray for the church. We're going to pray for the church overall. And Sharon and Tim Gill, they're going to be here. They're going to be leading that for us. And it's just an hour from 6 to 7. And we're going to have some things and some prayer points. The following week, on the 13th, we're going to be praying for families and our communities. And then on the 20th, the day of the inauguration, we're going to pray for our government. We're going to pray not just for America, but for the governments of the world, the nations of the world, for the local government, state house, every type of government institution, because Christ calls us to pray for that. And so one way we stay focused on the bread of life is committing to prayer. Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer. And church, we want to stay committed to prayer and intercession. And so with that, I'm going to play a song here in a minute, but I just want to our takeaway from today is this: is Jesus the center of your life? Are you all in for him? Is he the thing that you hunger and thirst for? And if he isn't, that's okay, because we have a chance to repent and come back to him. We have a chance in this moment to say, Lord, we're starting off 2025. It's a new day. His mercies are new every day. And today I'm going to renew and commit myself to keeping you the central part of my life, the only thing that satisfies. So with that, Drew, you can play that song. And if you need prayer, you can come forward. You can pray. You can sit near, whatever you want to do, as always. But let's just worship and let's reflect on what he's done in our life.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus. At the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, and nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. It's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the same. Center, it's all about. yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all. The center of your church. Jesus, be the center of your church. And every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus. Jesus, say his name, Jesus.